My name is Garland Robinson. The Bible reveals to us there is an eternity. God tells us about it because everyone is going there, whether they believe it or not, whether they're prepared or not, everyone is going into eternity. So it's because of God's great love that He tells us about it. He warns us about going to the wrong place in eternity, for there are two places that everyone will go. They'll either be the good or the bad, the place of great joy and love and peace, or the place of great punishment and agony. The Bible tells us then, of course, that men will live again, and that will be in eternity. The Bible tells us that our trip to eternity is certain. Everybody's going to go. That'll happen when we die in this world. Once we have died, our means of changing our course in life, where we will spend eternity, has ended. So if we're going to make a difference as to where we're going to be throughout eternity, that's going to be now in this life. The Bible teaches that Judgment Day is the announcement time. You know, one of the most difficult things to get people to believe is that the Judgment Day is real. A lot of people don't like it. They don't believe it. They refuse to recognize it at all. But that doesn't change the reality of it. So people need to understand the Judgment Day is real. It is the time when our sentence will be pronounced and we'll either hear, "Come, thou good and faithful servant, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world," or the announcement will be made, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." The Word of God gives vivid pictures of the reality of judgment. Notice in Acts chapter 17, verse 30 and 31, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead." Friend, Judgment Day is real, and that everyone will be there. In Matthew chapter 25, we read of a great judgment scene, verses 31 and 32. "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats." Friend, that describes this great judgment scene. It is just as real as death. Is there anyone living today that refuses to recognize the reality of death? Death is coming upon every living human being. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die," then notice what's connected with it, "and after this, the judgment." Those are two realities, death and the judgment. Death and the judgment is just as real as the hospitals, just as real as the funeral home, just as real as the cemetery, just as real as this radio or computer over which you're listening to this lesson. It's just as real as the most real thing you can imagine in this world. Denying it won't make it go away. Why is it then that people refuse to live as though there is a judgment day and preparing themselves for that event? Well, I don't know, other than they love what they want and refuse to render their will to the will of God. So the Bible plainly tells us there are two dwelling places in eternity. They are called heaven and hell. This points perhaps one of the most sobering thoughts that anyone can even be thinking about. Because you're going to be found in one place or the other. I'm going to be found in one place or the other. There's no middle ground. There's no limbo. There's no place wherein we'll just kind of cease to exist. Everyone is going to be there. Everyone will be conscious of the things going on around them and their pain and agony if they're in torment, or their peace and comfort if they are in heaven. you are either headed to one place or the other right now. And the Bible also tells us that it is within our power to change directions. God is not an indiscriminate God where He just, of His own whims, chooses to save some and not save others, that they're going to be lost. But that power is within me. That power is within you. I cannot make you be lost or saved. You cannot make me be lost or saved. That is totally within each person's choice, within their power to make that choice. Friend, if you're headed right now toward heaven, you need to recognize you can change directions. You can fall. It's not a safe bet. It's not that you just you're locked in and you're just going to sail right on through, because you can change directions. The Bible tells us again and again, take heed lest you fall. Just as soon as you think that you really arrived, you're really standing, take heed lest you fall. Galatians 5:4 likewise mentions the fact that there are those who are fallen from the grace of God. So if you're headed toward heaven, you can change directions. Now, you don't want to. I sure hope you don't. You need to stay on that course, but the reality of your changing is real. But then also, if you're headed toward hell, you need to recognize you can change directions. You can repent. You can turn back to God. You can obey the truth and purify your soul in so doing. And that is our prayer. That is our longing ambition for you. That's why we're coming to you on these broadcasts as we do, that you might learn the truth and turn from your wicked ways. So you can turn. There's nothing you have done that cannot be forgiven by the blood of Christ. I know I've heard people say, well, you just don't know. I've done too much. I've gone too far. God just cannot love me. The blood of Christ cannot cover my sin. But friend, that's the devil talking to you. That's the wrong influence in your life. You can turn around if, though, you repent. It's more than just simply wanting to. It's more than just simply talking about it. You have to turn back to God in humble faith and obedience to His Word. The Bible gives three vivid descriptions about hell being an everlasting punishment in Revelation 21 and in Matthew 25. Hell is spoken of as a lake of fire. It burns with brimstone. It is the second death. It is an everlasting death. That's what hell is. Number one, a lake of fire. Number two, a second death. Now, we die first in this world in a spiritual sense when we sin and separate ourselves from the Lord. And then we die in a second death where we're eternally separated from the presence of the Lord. And we go out into an everlasting fire. The Bible describes it as a place prepared for the devil and his angels. And if we think more of Satan and sin than we do of God and Christ, then we'll never expect to go to heaven. Sin will take us into an everlasting fire, into a lake that burns with fire and brimstone, into that second death where the beast and false prophet are, and where we will be eternally separated from the presence of Almighty God. Well, I don't want to go that direction, do you? Well, then the Bible gives us a vivid description of heaven. It's a great chapter in the Bible, Revelation chapter 21, that speaks of heaven as being new. All of us like new things, don't we? Here we read about a new heaven, a new Jerusalem. It teaches us that heaven is beautiful. It's a prepared place. The Bible describes it as a place where a bride is adorned for her husband. It teaches there'll be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying or pain, for all of these things will be done away. Oh, the beautiful contrast between heaven and hell. What a terrible thought that is, to be on the wrong side. On the left side, on the place going to hell, there is a lake that burns with fire and brimstone. It is terrible. It is ugly. It is awful. On the right side is a beautiful city. The Bible says, whose builder and maker is God. Let's say we're standing on the edge of a cliff, and we're looking out ahead into the yonder. And on the left side is that place smoldering, burning, fire and brimstone. On the right side, a beautiful place of peace and rest. On the left, there is the second death, where we're eternally separated from God forever. On the right is a place where we live with God forever in comfort. On the left, there's that everlasting fire, a place of torment. And on the right, no more sorrow, no more death, no more crying, nor pain. And friend, it is absolutely guaranteed for sure that you will be, I will be, in one of those two places. What we do now will determine that. So the Bible plainly tells us that we can be saved from the awful fate of hell. When a person sins, and the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, they are heading the wrong direction. They're heading to hell. That's why we talk about being saved. Saved from going to hell. Saved from the pits of torment and pain and anguish. Why not turn around and head toward the other side, the place called heaven? The Lord said in Matthew 17, verse 5, that voice that came out of heaven, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me," John 14, 6. "And there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved than the name of Jesus Christ," Acts 4, and verse 12. Well, what the Bible says is you've got to believe on that name. You've got to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. But belief is not enough. It's essential. Can't go to heaven without it. But that's where you start the journey toward the forgiveness of your sins. The Bible says you've got to repent. The Lord Himself mentioned, "I tell you nay, but except you repent, you'll all likewise perish," Luke 13, 3. God commands all men everywhere to repent, Acts 17, verse 30. Then we must confess faith in Jesus that He is the Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, Romans 10 and verse 10. Then one must be born again, born of water and of the Spirit. Through the teaching of the Holy Spirit, we are able to know the difference between right and wrong, heaven and hell. We know what to do. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." And when we're baptized, we're born again. The old man dies, the new man is raised from the water. That's the plan that God gives. Friend, will you do that? In view of vast eternity, won't you turn from your sins in humble, faithful obedience, confess faith in the Lord, and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sin? My name is Garland Robinson.